Welcome back to the House of Cards show for the British Tech Network. I am Jackie Hearn.
And I'm Roberto Villegas.
And this week I'm a very sad Charlotte Henry.
Aww.
So, yes, today this was we're talking today, of course, about Season 2, Episode 1.
Yep, we've made it Season 2. We've breached the first season. We've completed it. We're done. It's in the banks. And holy crap, what a way to kick off a season. And I want to start this off the top because when doing the show, you tend to hit the wikis a lot. You tend to look at stuff to make sure your facts are straight and things like that. And I had originally, and it was funny when everyone here found out, I had kind of spoiled what was going to happen to myself on this episode. However, and we'll get into that once we start the discussion, I didn't think it'd be that crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Charlotte, I'll let you talk. Start that discussion, but I will say that I was spoiled because I watched all of Season 1, binged it when it first came out, and then I started watching the British show, and there's a lot of parallels that I know we're going to talk about. So I kind of knew it was happening, but whoa!
Yeah, no, it's insane, but you kick it off, Charlotte, yeah. Since I know you're such a Zoe friendly, like if there is a person here on this podcast that is like the most friendly to Zoe and the most empathetic to Zoe, that's got to be you, Charlotte.
Oh, I'm so sad Zoe's dead.
But man, how she died. Oh,
like, okay, so let's go through this. The relationship, I'll try and be professional and keep this together at this difficult time for us all.
Agreed.
Okay. I've got my British tea here to, you know, stiffen my resolve.
There you go. Stiff upper lip, as they say.
Right. So the relationship between Zoe and Frank has obviously disintegrated. And in a way, it's kind of Zoe at her best. We kind of see Zoe having some, you know, journalistic integrity, she's not just trying to sleep with Frank for story. She's really, you know, suddenly taking her career and herself seriously, a bit of self-respect, and I really like that about her.
Right.
And Frank suddenly realizes he's lost control. And I actually think Frank realizes that he and Zoe are a little bit too similar, both the good characteristics of themselves and the bad ones. And so Frank realizes he can no longer control Zoe. And Zoe throws her in front of a subway train.
No, but the thing about it is this. This is not, like Zoe getting killed sucks, yes. But this is what it was for me, the moment that like really solidified that death. Because I had read about it, and I had known, like, okay, yeah, Zoe's going to die this episode. Okay, I'm ready for that. I'm prepared for that mental thing. It's the fact that when Zoe walks to Frank and is about to plead with him, that he turns, he twists her, like in other words, he gives her like there's that moment in the episode where Zoe's walking to Frank, and he's like, she's like, but Frank, I can do something, and Zoe comes and Frank sort of just twists her around and shoves her, and it's just like the most like craziest thing I had seen on television up until that point.
It's so critical, isn't it? It's so fast.
It's that turn.
I'm brutal.
It's that turn, because Caruso was like, you know, like Caruso, you know, that one was just sort of, oh, okay, it was a killing of opportunity. And this one was too, but it was...
No,
the
it wasn't. He knew he was calling her to the train station to kill her. That's why he had her on the corner.
A little bit yes, a little bit no. But I'll get into my opinion there. But the fact of the matter that he turns her and flips her around, because she could just shoved her like that, but that he knew right then and there, well, you know, maybe you're right now that I think about it, because that's the only way you're going to make it look like an accident, is that it looked like he's tripping.
Yeah, I agree.
Because, you know, because again, it's that conscious moment where he turns her and faces her to essentially... Here's your end. Boosh. Get out of here.
Definitely premeditated. Absolutely.
And I've always said this in the past, you know, that Frank's a bit of a gangster at that. It is such a gangster move. It is such a, like just, you know what? All right, fine. You want to play that way? Then boosh. Because the weird part about that scene, and that whole interchange. I know we're kind of jumping ahead, but I mean, this is all the episode just leads up to this. To be honest, what's great about the interchange between Frank and Zoe is that Zoe is like, you know, is trying to play like Frank, trying to be like Frank, trying to say like I'm comfortable with what I've done, everything's fine, but she still has like that sliver of morality, which is good, and I'm glad, you know, it makes Zoe awesome. But that's when Frank knows, because when she says like, I have to know if I wasn't part of a murder, and she's like Jesus, like does she like in Frank's mind he's like, did she ever learn anything? And that's when Zoe comes like, all right, fine, let's just get rid of her and move on.
And about that scene where he pushes her into the subway, I really like the look on her, the way that the actress who plays Zoe responded to that was great. She completely not. It wasn't until that last second she's turned around that you see on her face she knows what's about to happen.
Yeah.
Because as she follows him around the corner, you know, she has no clue, no thought in her mind that he's going to do something like this to her. And even as he grabs her, she doesn't. Her response is more, "Why are you grabbing me?" But then when he turns her. Her face just sort of deer in the headlights kind of look, yeah. And she knows it's coming.
Because I think she's prepared to be threatened by Frank, even physically intimidated by Frank. But I think because she's never, I don't think with her it's clicked that he killed Peter Russo, or it's starting to click that he has that potential, which is obviously why he escalates to killing Zoe. But I think with her, she never believes he'll do that to her. He might physically intimidate her, but she doesn't actually think when she goes around the corner that she's going to die. And yeah. That moment of realization that this is it and she can't do anything about it is like you say, stunningly acted.
Absolutely. I mean, I would imagine she would think that somebody that she sort of had a relationship with, or I mean, it may have just been sexual, that that she wouldn't expect that person would respond to her in that way. As we were waiting for Roberto to get back, what do you think? Because I'm really kind of torn, and I rewatched the episode just right before we started recording to kind of pinpoint where I thought the point was where Frank decided he's got to get rid of her. Because the first time they meet, it's in a park, and he says, "I'll meet wherever you want." And where would you say, Charlotte, that this decision was made?
Yeah, we were discussing this off air, and I can't quite pinpoint it. So probably to explain, I sort of knew it was coming as well because I was tweeting about how much I love Zoe,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of my friends tweeted back to me, "Oh, don't get on the tube." So I was like, "Thanks, guys." So when she suddenly starts approaching the tube station, I kind of thought, oh, my God, what's going to happen here?
Yeah.
But. So I think there is a moment where she starts questioning him about Russo a bit, doesn't she? And discussing it with him and pushing him on it. And I think that's the point where he suddenly realizes that actually she's talented enough to bring him down. She's possibly the only person in the show that could bring him down, apart from Claire.
Yeah, I mean, I will give you that. I mean, for me, I think the moment that I realized Frank was going to kill Zoe, because ultimately, during that interchange, there's a brief time where it almost sounds like Frank's trying to read Zoe, because Zoe's the most talented one to bring him down, the only one to bring him down. But that doesn't mean that Frank can't keep her in check, so long as she's on the same playbook as Frank and team.
He can only keep, I think that's right. He can only keep her in check while she feels he needs him. As soon as she's, you know, been taken in by Lucas, had a bit more journalistic integrity and all the rest of it.
Yep. Yeah, it's when
she realizes in this episode that she's not in his control anymore.
No, exactly. And that was the thing. Like the minute that she showed a little bit of morality and showed a little bit of a concern of like, was I part of a murder? That was the moment that I knew Frank was like, okay, this is where Frank will
pretty much end her if he has to. And she just walked into it. Like, it was such a time kind of thing. She's trying to approach Frank, trying to reason with Frank, thinking that, where Frank's like, no, you've already, this is it. This is the end now. You've become, you're nothing, you know, you're useless to me now. And you're no longer on the same playbook, and I'm sorry, but gotta go. In Frank's mind, of course. Because I mean,
it's not actually that he's not on the same playbook, because there are plenty of people we see that are not on his side. But he doesn't mind if you're not on his side, so long as you can control him. And suddenly he realized that working with Janine and Lucas, he can't control her anymore.
No.
And there's a lot of that in that last scene where they're in the subway station about that conversation that I picked up on this last time watching it, which is that, you know, it seems like Frank, obviously, I mean, he's wearing that hat and that jacket and glasses, and he's obviously trying. He looks like, you know, Inspector Gadget.
Very gangster.
He's totally set up that there's something going on here. But then you would also think, well, this is kind of normal because he is about to be vice president, or he is vice president at this point. So, I mean, he really can't be seen in a subway station without security. And but
is
during that
vice president at this point,
what's that? I think,
or has he just been nominated?
Wasn't he sworn in or sworn?
No, I think he's sworn. I think he's sworn. I forget whatever, but he's about the. But it's like, even if he's not a vice president, he's about to be, and he's definitely a little bit higher in terms of a visibility. Even as a senator, you know, it's like, what's he doing talking to Zoe Barnes? You know, that kind of thing isn't something you want to advertise that much either.
Right. Yeah. No, I think you're right. I'm a little bit confused because I did go back through all of season two, and there's, you know,
right.
So I can't remember when all of this is happening, you know, when he's in and out and what position he's in. But the thing is that he's, during that conversation, he's, obviously, it's after my second watching, I know that he has it in his mind that he's going to kill her. He's going to find some way to take her out, and that's, he's found the best spot to do it. And the conversation he's having with her about making a clean start, he's only obviously trying to get out of her every little bit of information that he thinks she knows, because he's also worried about Janine Skorsky, and he says at one point, well, you're sounding a lot like Miss Skorsky. And Zoe probably
really
saves...
He has an issue with Zoe. With Janine, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He digs at her a few times. He really doesn't... There's a long-running thing with Janine, I think.
And she probably saves her life by saying, she doesn't know anything. I'm just asking you first because I want to know. So if she had said, no, I've been talking with her too, they would have gone, you know, he would have been doing the same to Janine.
Maybe. I mean, like I said, part of me knows that Frank was going to kill her, but part of me says that if Zoe had talked and said, oh no, I'm okay with everything that you just did. I want in on this. I think Frank would have let her in. And again, it's that moment where, because again, like it definitely is a premeditated thing, because of the, like more of an opportunity, it would have a rougher push, and there'd been kind of things like that, a bit more physical. But because of that turn moment, that at least in my mind says he had the foresight enough to think, I got to make this look like an accident. This is the only way. I got to back away here. If she comes over here, I'm going to flip her around and push her. Like, there's a bit of a thought process when that happens.
He plans all of it. I mean, he knows exactly what he's doing. And we see in later episodes how brilliantly he has planned it. Because he makes it look like she sort of wandered, perhaps drunk, into this corner of the station, which happens. And was tripped over and timed it to go in front of a fallen train. That's what he makes it look like. And it's completely planned. You know, the duck where he's sitting in the shadows. He's not, you know, even when he's meeting her in a bit hidden, he's always slightly in the open. But he's completely in the shadows, dark hat, lures her into this dark point. It looks completely deliberate.
No, it is. This is a matter of... what I'm saying is, part of me thinks that there is a moment in that conversation where if Zoe had been more Frank-like, she would have lived.
If,
which
if,
has a,
If she hadn't pressed it, if she hadn't pressed it and said, okay, I've cleared your contacts, I've got your everything, we're going to do a fresh start. If she had just said that and walked away.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think that's probably right.
Yeah.
I think I think Frank goes to the station knowing he probably will kill her. I think he goes to the station being prepared to kill her, but leaves it to Zoe to decide if she'll live or die.
Exactly the point. That's what I'm trying to say, is that, like, he knows, like, okay, look, if I gotta get rid of this girl, I gotta get rid of this girl. Whatever, you know, hey, look, I've killed once before, I can kill again, no big deal, no fault. Who knows how many times he's killed, because I think it's this episode, or it might be the next episode that the line gets said, it's this episode where he's talking with his replacement to Whip, or the person he wants to get whipped. She goes, have you killed before? Have you killed a man before? And he's like, no. And it's, you know, it's such a kind of a great moment. But yeah, I don't think that Frank...
Of course, because she used to be in the army.
Right, exactly. Mm. I don't think Frank... Yeah, and hers is a bit different than that. But I don't think Frank necessarily... he had planned definitely to kill Zoe if the opportunity arose, because of, you know, it's such a weirdly planned thing. I'm like, yeah, that opportunity happened and he took advantage of it. But if Zoe had just cleared the contacts, said, all right, cool, yeah, fresh start, I won't say a damn thing, basically still under Frank's control on the same, I say playbook, because, you know, Frank has certain goals and things like that, then it would have been fine. Zoe would have lived. But because Zoe pressed the whole, you know, Did I help kill somebody? Was I part of a bigger conspiracy? That was like, all right, I have to get rid of this girl because she.
Okay, but because you've referenced the Russo murder as well, do we think that was deliberate? When does he plan that? In the same way, we're pretty sure he plans killing Zoe, you know, at least during that earlier in that day, if not earlier. He becomes aware that he might have to kill Zoe, in his warped mind, that's an option.
Good question.
Does he decide he's going to kill Russo in the same way? I'm not convinced. I think with Russo, it's more spontaneous. He suddenly, during that drive, realizes that Russo's out.
Oh, yeah. No, during the drive, that's what it is. I think it's the same kind of thing in the idea of Frank... At that point in time, and again, only because I'm kind of looking back with the eyes of what happened in this episode, I think Frank is the kind of person that if he has to get his hands dirty, and we've seen this when it came to the whole, you know, killing of the dog, snapping the neck, the very first episode, that if he has to get his hands dirty, he will. If he has to do something, he will. He doesn't want to. But it takes a man with strong character to, you know, in his kind of words, to do something like that. So I think with Russo, he was, you know, reading Russo. Russo's like, I'm gonna tell, and he's like, you shouldn't do this, man. Like, he's giving him an option to do it.
Okay,
like,
he sets up the radio interview and getting Russo drunk.
Yes.
During the campaign chances not to kill him. Yeah, we agreed on that.
I agree. Right. Yeah, I think he just knew that this would end him politically, and that's all.
Right, exactly. That's all he wanted to do.
So, I don't believe that Frank starts the day, that episode, thinking I'm going to kill Peter Russo, whereas I do think he plans Zoe's murder a lot further in advance.
I will give you that. I will give you that for sure. What I'm saying
you're saying, has Frank killed before? Actually, I'd say not. I'd say that actually having bumped off Russo so relatively easily, the whole situation has now got out of control for him. I think he doesn't kill Zoe without having killed Peter first.
No, I would totally agree with you there. Like I said, ultimately that moment came about, was like sort of presented to Frank, sort of like, here's a way to kind of get rid of this problem. And Frank's like, you're right, that's a way to get rid of this problem, when it came to Peter Russo. And I think after that, that's sort of what kicks off with Zoe. Like, well, this is an option on the table. If it's a problem, if she's part of the playbook, she's on the same page. Like, if Peter Russo had said, you know what, I'm not going to say a thing. I'm going to get my life, get my life. Because there's so many moments of all these things where you start to realize that if they had just made this one decision, things would not have gone the way that they have gone.
It's their fault they got killed.
Yeah, well, that's the world from Frank. That's how Frank views. Like they made the wrong decision.
Frank is more of a compassionate person than we
thought. I'm cleaning up the mess that they made. I got to think of things for me and the people.
I don't mean to be rude, but you're kind of talking like a psychopath.
No, I'm just talking like our narrator. Because that's how I view it. But,
I think it's important, and we were discussing this a bit off air as well, when I was sobbing into my tea that we were going to have to discuss Zoe dying. Actually, the comparison with Matty Storin dying in the British version, which is an important comparison because there's some... I mean, I haven't... She's thrown off the Houses of Parliament, isn't she, Matty? In typical grandiose BBC fashion, she doesn't just get hurled under the tube. She's thrown off of the roof of the House of Parliament.
It's very... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you've seen it. So I just thought it's interesting that actually they... Because the female journalist in both editions of House of Cards is obviously a very integral character to the whole plot, and actually on both occasions the writer's prepared to let them go.
And what I noticed about that one as well is that I don't think that you know he intended to kill Matty. I think that there was that scene right before where she confronts him. And he kind of knows it's very similar to Zoe, that it's that point where he knows she's got too much information. I can't risk everything that I've been working so hard to build for this one girl. And I think that that's when he decides he's going to push her off the Parliament building. But like I said, I watched that before I saw season 2 of the U.S. show, and that floored me when I saw it in the U.K. show. I absolutely was just shocked at that scene. I almost kind of wondered if they were going to come back in a minute and show that it was a dream or something. You know, that it seems so beyond what I expected from that the U.K. show.
Yeah, I mean... I was telling you guys that I've been up on that roof. That's a pretty, like, you can get up there. It's all real. I mean, if you're staff in Parliament, you can get up to that roof.
Oh.
People do go up there. It's pretty realistic that, you know, you would meet a politician or something up there. It's a pretty brutal way to go because you're a long way up.
I mean, yeah.
It's not pretty. Like, don't go, amazing views, but don't go up there if you've got vertigo.
There's
something a bit more British about that, isn't there? You know, sort of trip her off a roof as opposed to another in front of a train. I don't know.
Well, I don't know.
I think the way they're both murdered kind of separates, actually shows the difference between Francis and Frank quite a lot, actually. Mm-hmm. Because from what Jackie, you know, the way Jackie's describing it, there's something less clinical, less brutal, less deliberate about how Matty is killed by Francis. Whereas I think we've all agreed that actually the way Frank kills Zoe is pretty, like, you know, is pretty clinical, very brutal, very pre-planned and very deliberate.
Yes.
Yeah, like I said, for me, it's that moment of the turn. And it's such a subtle moment. It's such a subtle thing, but it's such a powerful kind of thing where it's just, you know, turn, push, and it's just like the sorry, get out of my life kind of thing in the most brutal of ways. And it's... pretty amazing scene.
And I know this is a silly connection to make too, but you know, as I said earlier about the actress who plays Zoe and how she responded at that moment where you could see in her face that she's in complete shock and she knows what's about to happen right before she hits the train. And it's the same with Matty, because when he pushes her over the edge, she yells, "Daddy!" Which she called him daddy, which was the weirdest thing to me. But it's very similar to that relationship. So, why don't we wrap this up? But there's one last thing I want to point out about Frank, knowing that he's going, the time that he decides that he's going to turn, and he might have to take Zoe out. He's at Freddy's eating barbecue, and Freddy explains how he gets this good pork, because they slow bleed the... And, yeah. and he says, you know, the humane way to do it is do it fast and quick.
Yeah.
And he's just like, and Frank is just like, oh, you know, he's kind of startled hearing this.
Like, oh, you just do it quickly. That's humane. Well, then I'm a saint if I do it this way.
So to me, that was kind of surprising that Frank is like, sort of like, oh, that's terrifying. And then yet at the end of the show, bam, you know,
well,
so.
Well, because he doesn't think that. Well, maybe he does. Well, we could talk this endlessly. But we got to actually thank some sponsors before we move on, of course. We have a bunch of people that help the show out. And our biggest sponsor is, of course, the UK2.net. They cover all the bandwidth costs here at the British Tech Network. They can hook you up with web addresses, help you out with servers. They do all the kind of crazy stuff like shared hosting, VPSs, anything you need. I know, Charlotte, you host a lot of your sites, or your main site, actually, through them. And you've had beautiful success with them.
Yeah, I basically moved everything I host over to UK2. I wouldn't use anyone else. They're brilliant. They keep you informed. They actually send me a pretty good monthly newsletter, let me know of their offers, stuff like that. If you want offers, we've got lots on the British Tech Network site as well. They're brilliant. I mean, like I say, I really wouldn't use anyone else. My sites have been beautifully stable. And everything's stored since you've been there. You can add pages to WordPress blogs, you can add sort of, what do I think of, static URLs, all that kind of thing so easily, extra pages connected to your domain. Everything works so easily, even someone like me that doesn't really like to touch anything servery or back-end-ish can actually work through, because the way UK2 set up their CMS and their back-end is so user-friendly, and they've got brilliant customer service who deal with me blubbering down the end of the phone that someone else has deleted.
That's
my
site. The most important part is the customer service part.
I mean, genuinely, their customer service is fantastic. You pick up the phone the whole time, they have live chat. It's really, really good, and they help me out when someone else let me down, so they're brilliant.
Yeah, so if you're looking for hosting there in the UK, whether it be virtual private server or maybe just something a bit lesser like a shared host or something like that, head on over to uk2.net. And, of course, visit the site, britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors, for a list of offer codes that are available to you. And, of course, we thank them for sponsoring the British Tech Network.
Very good. So shall we talk about Claire and her firing of her assistant?
The lesser story, the B-side, if you will, of this episode.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it. Definitely the B-side. And one little tie-in to the Zoe segment is at the very end when the news is announced that Zoe has died, jumped in front of a train.
Oh, we didn't even mention that. I'll mention the closing episode, what I'm going to say.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just going to say that Claire hears the story as Frank's taking a shower, and then she just sits down and puts on makeup. When, if she were shocked by this, or, you know, wouldn't she normally go back and say, knock on the shower door and say, hey, Frank, there's some news about your friend.
Well, it's implied.
Sorry, they do have that conversation.
Yeah, it's implied that there's a conversation, because when he comes back after the deed has been done, after Stamper essentially and explaining the deed has been done, doesn't he come back and blow out a candle for his birthday?
Yeah, but there's no word spoken. It's just that
it's implied. It's implied.
I mean, she what, that Frank has told Claire that she killed him, her?
I don't believe that there were words spoken.
I don't think Frank ever tells her.
No, he
tries to protect her by not telling her. And I think also what's important is Lucas's reaction.
I think that's definitely more the next episode, I think.
I mean, when he gets the news, you know, he smashes his phone.
It was a great shot, too.
It was completely quiet. The sound was turned down. I think it was a great shot.
And ahead of that very typical newsroom setup where, you know, in a lot of newsrooms, the offices of the editors are usually glass. You know, that's like the typical, both in television and the newsrooms I've seen. They've got, you know, it's everyone can see it's a lot of transparency, you know, which...
I think my favorite reaction out of the death actually was, Miss Scorsese, her first name.
She's packing up.
I love her reaction. She's like, you know what? No, ain't worth it. I'm out. And it's just like, it's like, look, if this is how this rolls, I'm not prepared to roll this way. This ain't worth it. I'm gonna.
It kind of makes me lose a bit of respect for Janine, actually. Because Lucas is like, damn it, this is a story. I'm going to find out who killed her. And obviously there's a love thing and there's the passion, his personal relationship with Zoe. Where Janine is like, do you know what? I've got my mum. I'm out of here.
Well, because Janine is like, this is a great story. I ain't prepared to die over the story, like, in that kind of way. I don't need my parents finding out that this is how I'm going to go out. Not because I didn't lose any respect for her. I just sort of said, that's sort of what you have to choose.
And she was the one saying a couple episodes ago, Zoe, are you really sure you want to do this? You're going to get death threats.
But there's death threats, and threats are one thing. Actual, like, oh shoot, they are prepared to do this. Like there's a threat you can ignore.
In front of a subway.
Yeah, a threat you can ignore. Getting pushed up in front of a subway, that's like, no. I'm gonna just you take care of this.
And this is an interesting question actually, because you guys mentioned that Frank talks about Janine to Zoe before he kills her. Part of me thinks that killing off Zoe is also a threat to the other two to back off.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. It's a message.
And Janine gets those naked photos of Zoe, out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Jennifer Lawrence would be proud. Sorry.
No, it is a message. It's a message to these guys, and it's a very apparent at that scene when they get there. But let's get back to talking about Claire, because I know we keep harking on that.
Her response is this episode about Claire was for us to finally see that Claire is just as much of a monster as Frank. And particularly in the way she responds to Jillian. Does anybody? Because there's, I love what she does. But go.
This is my favorite, my favorite moment. I've been talking about it. There's a confrontation between Jillian and her, where basically she's cut off the her healthcare plan.
Right.
And she goes, I think she roughly says, and I can't read the exact line. She says something like, I am prepared to let that baby wither and die in you. Or something along those lines. It's just like, holy crap, that's cold.
While at the same time, she is talking to a doctor about trying to have a baby herself.
That's what I love about it.
And then the episode turns at the end and she cancels the appointment and says, I'm not going to have a baby.
Yeah, I was going to say, so she cancels her sort of IVF or whatever treatment she's discussing. But also, she absolutely, throughout the whole relationship with Jillian, she's used the healthcare as a power play. You know, first of all, barging into her flat, sending her to her doctor.
Yeah.
And now, cancelling the healthcare when it suits her as her as her way of keeping her in control. Which is why your guys' healthcare system is mad. But anyway,
it is.
Let's not go on about that. But this is a really big, really personal hold that Claire has over Jillian. Particularly, you know, a normal young woman, maybe it would be okay. You deal with it you hope you don't break your leg over the course of a month or something and you get a new job. But obviously when you're pregnant, it's not okay. And you need to know that you've got healthcare. And she's, she is very unsisterly, first of all, the way Claire treats Jillian. That's the first thing, for a woman to treat another woman like that's pretty abhorrent. I mean, it's absolute bullying. It's the same level of cruelty and power and control that Frank tries to exert.
Mm-hmm.
What I love about actually that whole thing is that what the reason behind it is. The reason behind it isn't so much of like, I want to control you, Binky Part Team. Like, no, I want to dump this whole thing back on you because I just don't want to deal with this anymore. And only because, at that point, Frank is going to become vice president. Things are happening. Everything's kind of confirmed. And I love that scene is like, no strings, no nothing. Like, yeah, no strings. Just take this thing over. I don't need this anymore. This isn't
That was so shocking. I mean, why did she...
She's going to have other projects that are far more important to take care of.
But for her to make the effort to find out the name of the doctor and go to the doctor... Obviously, she went to the doctor's wife and told her that her husband had an affair, and the woman who he had an affair with is having his baby. And the woman shows up at his... I mean, obviously, this is Claire that did it.
Oh, yeah,
and she rubs it in her face right when she shows up for the health insurance. And she's like, have you seen Mrs. Applebaum recently? Or I can't remember what the words were, but, you know, she didn't have to do all of that, you know?
No, she was, I mean, that's how she rolls. That's how this couple rolls.
Claire, I mean, Claire in this episode is absolutely brutal. And she, I don't know if she's kind of done it because she's still annoyed at Frank when he's tried to control bits of her life. So she's kind of taking it out on everyone and showing she can play the same games as him.
Absolutely, and I think also she's sending a message to Jillian, that while I'm giving you the Clean Water Initiative, the CWI, I want you to know that you cannot cross me. So go ahead and take over, but I'm doing other better stuff, and you just better get, I want that message across to you that you cannot attack me. You can't
F with them. You know, they're nothing. They're not to be trifled with. If you want to kind of make it more polite.
And F with them is a good term because. But by the way, I know this is sort of a side thing. It's kind of off the topic of Claire. But at the very end, the gift that Meacham gives Frank.
Oh, the FE. We'll talk about that at the closing.
Okay. All right. I just think that's so awesome. I mean,
yeah. No, but. With Claire, like I said, I really did like this one because it really solidified some things with Claire. Because Claire had been kind of, as a character, sort of floating between the two worlds of like, well, maybe I'll have a baby. Maybe this is what I'm supposed to be doing, the whole maternally thing. And then this is the episode where we see she sort of, in her own way, figures out what, you know, she shows her true colors, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And I really did enjoy that scene as brutal as it was, I enjoyed that on character development to see, oh, this is how Claire rolls. Okay, cool. Now I know why these two people are together and why they are who they are.
Do you think it was ever genuine, that maternal stuff from Claire?
I think it was. I think there was a moment where she had that instinct, if nothing more than hormones and things like that. That's just, you know, that's nature and things like that. I think it was genuine. Then somewhere along the
way, Roberto Villegas, gynecological expert there.
I think it was genuine too. I mean, a natural hormonal sort of reaction to growing older, but then also the fact that she brought up before to Frank is, who do we have to leave this behind to? We're going to build this empire, and who's going to benefit from it? So, you know, there's a little bit of that mixed in with the natural, you know, desire to have children.
But then of course, you know. In Claire fashion, or as Frank would say, she sort of quote unquote again, and this is from the narrator's point of view. This ain't my point of view. Came to her senses in that sort of regard, and like, oh wait, no, this is what I'm all about, and that's what we see when she says the whole wither and die line. Like, that is really honestly the Claire we've seen before. That's the Claire we've seen that manipulated the vote, that did everything correct, that did everything to screw Frank over the first time. This is all, you know, this is all the same Claire. It's just we were kind of tricked a bit, and it's like, oh no, here's Claire again. And that's why I really dug about this. It kind of, at least on a character level, put front and center who she is.
Very, very true. Charlotte, any other thoughts about Claire and how she's responded to this, or should we?
No, I agree. I think Roberta's summed it up pretty nicely. This is really where we see the depths of how Claire is prepared to roll.
I agree.
All right, before we go on to our last and final section, we've got to thank one more sponsor, that being the Network Union. The Network Union is an authorized BT business partner licensed to sell their global and UK services. Their experience has been earned from working with large global and UK enterprises, but now they also work with SEMs. Essentially, these are the guys that handle a lot of your crazy back-end connections like MPLS, VPLS, and Ethernet connections within the whole main metropolitan networks there in the UK. So if you're kind of the guys that work on the IT side and you're looking for a way beefier connection, or you're are the IT people there, and you're trying to find that, and you're just kind of not sure where to go, you might check out these guys here, the Network Union. They actually sponsor us here. So if you would, go on to networkunion.com/British Tech for more information and to show your appreciation for the British Tech Network, and we thank them for sponsoring everything here at the British Tech Network.
Wonderful.
All right.
So we've got a bunch of different other seaside stories.
Well, because this is like our closing thoughts, because we're almost out of time.
I agree. Okay.
I think we're pretty much a little close to time right now. And I didn't mention this at the beginning, and I'm glad I didn't, because there's a moment in this episode that if you've watched the episode, you realize that Frank hasn't broken the fourth wall yet. Frank will do
it. This is so brilliant.
It was such a brilliant moment. I freaking loved that scene, because Frank is like, "Oh, did you think I forgot about you?"
About you, yeah.
And it's like, no, I didn't forget about you. I just had to take care of some things. Like, and he goes in the whole cat line and things like that.
Kittens become cats. They scratch you.
I love that moment. Because as he's saying all these things, you know, he then looks at the camera at the end of it like, welcome back. And this is where we get to the whole, the cufflinks, which obviously stand for Frank Underwood, but they imply the big giant, you know.
F-U.
You know, dog off.
Which is the same initials as our UK Prime Minister. He's got the same initials. This is the first time I thought of that.
The bit where Frank breaks the fourth wall for the first time, because you kind of have you're sort of semi-conscious of it, because it's such a integral part of the relationship between narrator and viewer, that breaking the fourth wall. It really reminded me, I don't know if any of you ever seen, you might not have seen, there's a play in the UK, The History Boys, by a very famous British playwright called Alan Bennett, who uses this same kind of mechanism. It's about a school and the teachers and various characters throughout the play talk to the audience in the way we've seen Frank and everyone done, apart from one of the female characters who until one point goes, I've not yet been given my voice, and then starts giving this speech.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
So, and it really, that moment with Frank really reminded me of that. And it's such a clever device, because you don't realise he hasn't spoken to you until he tells you, and then you realise how significant it is.
Yes, and it was such a moment when it got there. It's like, oh, did you think I forgot about you? And it's just like, oh crap, that's right. He hasn't talked to us yet about this. He's now going to justify it to us, and he justifies it in his own way. And you realize, like, this is how he thinks. And it's such a
Kevin Spacey just is right up close to the camera.
It's very creepy. It's very eerie.
The line that I love, the line that I could, like, it's funny when you start to see how as a narrator of a television show, as sort of that person, how you do it, how you like tell the story, and it's the moment that after he gets through that whole thing, they looks back at the camera, just says, "Welcome back." And that's like, you know, the theme kicks in the background and things like that. Like, it's
the music
it's
is
like,
amazing,
well,
too.
The thing is, like a lot, it's very much like, this is how you tell a multi-episode story arc and how you control it and things like that. Because, like, just saying that, like, here's how we're going to kick off season two. And I'm coming back and, you know, I'm talking about all the stuff that happened, you know, because this is how it rolls. And again, him just saying the welcome back, and that's where it cuts off. I'm like, that is a brilliant way to end that kind of thing.
Go ahead, Charlotte.
I was just going to say, it's a stunningly produced episode with those little quirks and bits of timing. It's as good as any of the Aaron Sorkin West Wing moments, some of those moments in this episode.
It's an absolutely great episode, and I think that this episode alone made me really excited about finishing season two, because, like I said, I watched it in 2 days.
And without Zoe, I kind of am put up. Yeah. I miss Zoe. I felt less engaged by it without Zoe. I miss her.
One last thing about that scene where he talks to us and says, welcome back, is he also says, you're either the hunted... you're either the hunter or the hunted.
And
that's what happened with Zoe. That's what happened with Russo. Russo called him and said, hey, I'm not going to let this go. You know, he started to stand up to Frank. And he was going to expose everything. And the same with Zoe. They were both almost kind of hunting him, so he knew he had to respond in the way he did.
Yep, and that's why again I love that closing monologue. It's such a great way of really solidifying Frank's character again. Because we know Frank can kill, but he has in his own mind his reasons.
Absolutely.
And it's such a great way of doing it. I thought it was such a brilliant way of doing it.
All right, well, if you want to follow me, you can follow me at JackieHearn81 on Twitter. I'm JackieHearn.com. Roberto?
Of course, you can find me. I'm at Vincent404 on the Twitters. If you want to catch any of my other content, maybe some of the more geekier things and stuff like that, head on over to my website, CosmicRadio.tv.
By the way, Roberto, on CosmicRadio.tv, I think we're going to have to do a Premier League preview. Premier League review of what's been going on so far.
Yeah, we'll have to get you back on. We'll figure it out.
I think we're going to have to do that.
We'll plan it in the coming weeks to figure it out. We just got off international break this past weekend as of this recording, and we're going back, especially... Oh God, this is gonna be a big game, man. I'm glad we didn't talk about soccer because this is gonna be a big coming
Take
game.
We will do it all on CosmicRadio.tv.
We'll figure it out. We'll talk. We'll figure it out. Where can we find you, Charlotte? Though.
Yeah, I'm at Charlotte A. Henry on Twitter and Google Plus and Instagram and all those things, and at CharlotteAHenry.com.
All right. Well, terrific. Until next time. See you later.
Welcome back.
Ha 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 ha!